Services where when the kids go, the service goes. Amen. God, I had a goodness. Had a young lady some years ago when I was pastoring, was my secretary. And she and her husband became youth people and then children's ministry. I don't know how that works. I mean, it's supposed to be children's ministry, then youth, I think, but anyhow, the church where she went to turned it around after we had closed and moved on. So I ran into her and she said, "You really should come by the church, our children's ministry section of it." Said, "We've got these kids 6, 7, 8 years old prophesying to one another, laying hands on them, being slain in the spirit and healed and all kinds of things happening." And I said, "Why don't you take it out in the major sanctuary?" Y'all will catch up in a minute. I mind that. Is everybody awake? Amen? Praise God. I want Mary to come and greet you. And we'll come back when you have two services, and she'll let me preach at night. I tell you, we broke a chain a few weeks ago in Oklahoma City. I normally preach on Sunday morning. She preaches on Sunday night. So we got there, and so I said, "Go for it." She said, "You mean I preach on Sunday morning?" I said, "Yeah, I'm tired of plowing the field and letting you get all the glory." So she got up and preached on Sunday morning, and the pastor, who's 78 years old, said later, "It's the greatest sermon he ever heard." I thought, I goofed again. Goofed again.
Oh, Sister Jo was telling her friends a while ago that Bill was executive director of Rural Ministry Fellowship, and that's where your pastor and Brother David are affiliated. And she was saying that we were, and I need to apologize, Sister Jo. I guess we are, but he has the title, and I support him in prayer, and I just go along with him and do whatever he needs for me to do. But, you know, during this past year, I've had quite a warfare, and some of you all have prayed for me, and I appreciate that. You know, when the word of the Lord comes to you, sometimes the enemy contests what God says to you. And I may tell you that little story, but there was a thought that came to me while you were talking about the church. And the church, prophetically, I can tell you that the church is shifting and changing. God never changes, but God's methods change. And the church is changing to meet the needs of God's people. And there is a weeding and a gleaning going on, a purifying the church for the glory of God. And I told God, I said, "I want to be purified. And brother, I hope I'm in that seventh time." Like you're talking about Israel, I said, "I hope this is the seventh time around, because God has dealt with me so much this past year." But I ran across a little statement about marriage, and then I'm going to apply this to the church, that in marriage, the goal is not to think alike, but to think together. And see, if you put that in the church, and we were talking about all the different denominations, we're never going to think alike. But I think because of some of the things that we're going through, we're going to learn to think together. And our main togetherness is that we lift up Jesus and we glorify God. And finally, the church is beginning to get the message that he who wins souls is wise. And that's what God's doing in us now. The things that we're going through, he's purifying us. I had prayed a prayer and ask God. I've been praying for probably 10 years off and on. I saw where Simeon and Anna laid hands on the Christ child, and they lived to be an old age, and they laid hands on the Christ child. They got to see him born and prophesy over him. So I have been praying all these years, "Lord, Bill and I have battled these battles to see the coming of the Lord, and I've always believed in my lifetime that I'd see the coming of the Lord." And some of you have believed that, hadn't you? If you hadn't, I don't think you're saved. If you hadn't believed, you're going to see the coming of the Lord, and the coming of the Lord is soon. So I prayed that, and I said, "Also, God, I want to see revival in America." And we went over to a convention that we ministered in, and the prophet of the Lord from Africa was there. It was Brother Osi's church, an all-African church. And this man, right in the middle of his sermon, right in the middle of the sentence, he stopped. And he said, "Mother Mary, you will see what you've asked God for, and you will see revival in America. He did not know that I had prayed that just the day before. Well, the day after he spoke to me, the enemy came to contest what God had spoken, because I'd asked God for a long life and to be here when Jesus comes, if that would be in his divine will and purpose. And I believe some of us are going to live long lives, longer than the American statistics say that we should live. And then the attack came. But during that attack, God did the purifying that you're talking about in me. He's worked things in my life that have just, I wouldn't take anything for what I've gone through, but I never want to go through it again. And so this morning, be encouraged. If you're going through trials and things in your life, know that God is purifying you so that you can glorify him more. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so God bless you today. I know he's pulling my face.
Praise God. I'm going to have you go to a book. Everybody have your Bibles here this morning. I'm going to have you go to a book that seldom do we read, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9. You know, the basic change in the church this day and time is the fact that the churches have got so worldly, you can't hardly tell which one is which. You know, we used to come for some semblance of holiness within the church, but there's so much of a mixture this day and time, it's difficult to kind of pick up what's really what. Amen? I can remember when those old preachers used to preach hell so hot you could smell the smoke. But this day and time, we don't want to upset anybody. Amen? You know, it's a feel-good generation that we're walking through right now. It's a please, let's encourage everybody on Sunday morning. Well, let me tell you something. If you're lost here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me use an old cliche. You're going to bust hell wide open. Amen? And so you have to arrive at a point that you can see that God has a plan. And I know that was kind of a strange opening to God has a plan, but God does have a plan. He has a plan for you, you personally, on this earth, a plan to do some things for God. A few weeks ago, well, a week right after convocation, Charlie Rogers and I left and drove to Oklahoma City and did a funeral on Monday. And this man, he's the one we laugh about my purple suit. I do. I own a purple suit, purple shoes. Purple tie. I generally wear a black shirt with it, by the way. And this guy gave me the purple suit. I had kidded him so about his purple suit till he bought me a purple suit and gave it to me. So when I go to Oklahoma City, I have to wear that purple suit because that's where he is or was. This guy was a tremendous soul winner for Jesus Christ. It is recorded that in his lifetime, which was very short, that he prayed with over 65,000 people to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 65,000. The Sunday that we were there, he had gotten out on Sunday morning, got up early on Sunday morning. Now, I don't say do this, but if that's what God tells you to do, you better be about it. He got up that Sunday morning and got on his motorcycle and was riding along. Now, this guy sitting on a motorcycle is kind of comical because he's 6'6 and weighs 300 pounds. But anyhow, he's on his motorcycle, and this lady had a problem, a flat tire. So he stopped. He didn't know why he was up. God just said, get up and go, and he got up and go. You know, he obeyed the voice of God. And that Sunday morning before he came to church at 10 o'clock, he helped the lady change a tire, showed her how to change the tire, changed the tire for her that was flat on her car, and then he said, now that we've done that, let's get serious about some other things. And he led all six people in the car to the Lord that morning before church. You know, most of us are saying, good Lord, it's Sunday, and I've got to get up and shower and shave and dress, and this guy was out winning the lost while most of us are trying to figure out where the kitchen is and the coffee pot. The ninth verse of the first chapter of Lamentations says this, and her uncleanliness is in her skirts, and she did not consider her destiny. That's the basic thing I want to deal with. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome, and she had no comforter. And, O Lord, behold my afflictions, for my enemy is exalted. And we begin to see that if we don't consider what God has placed before us and his design for our life, then we're walking in a place of failure, if not awesome destruction. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. Say, well, I wish he would reveal it to me. Well, all you got to do is keep walking. Keep walking. A friend of mine said many years ago, and in my hearing, when I was trying to hear the voice of the Lord, have you ever tried to hear the voice of the Lord? You know, you're praying, you're crying out, oh God, oh God. And God speaks so loud you can't hear him. Now, I've been here several times, so you know when I pause, you're supposed to say, amen, oh me, or something like that. If you don't, we'll be here for a while. Amen? Because I keep drilling until I hit oil. Amen? We're Texans, you know. We're supposed to keep drilling until we hit oil. But the question is, what is your destiny? What has God said to you? What is the plan that God has for you? It should be the very focus of your life. You know, you may run many tributaries along that river, but you're still coming back to mainstream because your destiny is down the road there. It's not right where you are at that time. And you begin to see that. You know, just one Bible character let's take into consideration in this area. Joseph was a young man with a vision and a dream. And he made the mistake that most of us make when God finally speaks something to us, at least when we finally hear. You know, I find out God's talking a whole lot more than we're listening. Amen. And when he finally, when he heard that thing from God, the first thing he did was run out and tell it. And it got him in all kinds of trouble. Sometimes you just need to be quiet about what God's saying. There are other times when it's time to speak, and you let those things fall. But no matter that he may have made a mistake in that area, he kept telling the good news. He kept walking in that vision that he had, and God brought it to pass. Now, he went many tributaries in the whole time that he was there in that situation. You know, his brethren decided to kill him. And then they thought, well, being good Jewish guys, we can make a little buck out of this. Why not sell the dude? So they sold him. He went on to a foreign land, to Egypt, and was sold again. You know, have you been twice sold yet? He worked in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife liked the looks of him. She hit on him pretty heavy, but he got away. That got him back to prison. But you know, the amazing thing about that, in God's plan, he always came to the top, no matter what happened. You know, it wasn't long before he was running the prison, although he was there. He couldn't just leave when he wanted to, but he was in charge of everything. Have you ever noticed that if you're in that flow, you're going to wind up being in charge of that situation? I've told several preachers that I know, good young preachers, this tremendous ability, tremendous anointing, they decide to do something else besides what they're doing. I've encouraged a couple of them, don't do that. We need you on the field. We need you out there ministering to the people of God. You see, we have to keep our focus on what God has said. It doesn't really matter all that much, as Brother Jim said this morning, what's happening. God's plan for us will come to pass. God's thing that he set before us is going to happen no matter what man tries to do if we will stay focused on that. The only person out that can keep you from not receiving what God has for you to do and the place he has for you to stand in is you. You can cancel out what God wants to do by doubting, by not believing. But Joseph didn't give up hope. He didn't give up his faith. He let it stay in operation in his life, and he began to see things happen that brought it about. And lo and behold, his brethren who had sold him came at a time of need and did exactly what the vision said as they bowed before him, as God said they would. Now, one of the mistakes that we make, and I'll read some more scripture here in a moment, but one of the mistakes that we make in this sense is the fact that God gives us a vision and we try to run out there and complete it. In this funeral we were doing in Oklahoma City a few days ago, one of the preachers, the guy's funeral that we were doing was a black guy, and it was Charlie Rogers and I and seven black preachers. So we had plenty of help. And one of those black preachers, who was the guy, brother who passed away, his uncle, filled his cap on when we got ready to go to the grave site, and his cap had a great big relax across the top of it, and under that it said, God's in charge. So let me encourage you to relax this morning. God is in charge. God is causing things to happen to bring you to the place that you need to be to accomplish what God wants to happen in your life. It may not sound like all that much. You may not be able to see the things that God wants to do happening right now, but just stay cool. Keep moving along with what God has laid out for you and watch God begin to bring it to pass. Amen? I talked to a guy this last week that just to see him and see what he's doing, it's enough to blow your mind. Guy's name is Archie Holmes. He has no legs. Runs around in a wheelchair. He's been to language school. He's been to Bible college. He's a missionary in Mexico. He shows films and wins the lost to Christ and preaches and does all those things. And God has now given him a vision for a Bible school. And he's putting it together. Now, most of us would have been in the doldrums of poor old me. But Archie is such a man of faith till he went and bought him a pair of shoes, size 10 and a half. And he's waiting till his legs grow out and his feet show up so he can put his shoes on, you know. And he carries those shoes with him in that wheelchair everywhere he goes. Because he doesn't know just when the miracle is going to happen, but it's his belief it will happen. And I hope I'm around when it does. Amen? Seeing the things happen in that area. Why? Because he has a vision of what God wants to do. When most people want to quit, Archie's still running that wheelchair up and down in Mexico, getting things accomplished for God. Brother Jim said he didn't know how many years he'd known us. I had a little hair when we came over here the first time. Amen? And my wife still rebukes me about that. I still have hair. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28 and 29 said, "For they are a nation void of counsel." You know, the scripture says there is safety in a multitude of counsel. You also have to be extremely careful because there's a lot of doubt and unbelief in a multitude of counselors. From time to time. Amen? Everybody has their own opinion. One of the things I like about one of the prophecy teachers, which I won't mention his name, but I like about him, is because he doesn't have an opinion about prophecy. He was at a meeting in Tampa, Florida of the prophets, prophecy conference. The guys that were there would say, "Well, it's my opinion, so-and-so and so-and-so." And they said, "What do you think, doctor?" He said, "I don't even have an opinion, but the Word says so-and-so." And let me tell you something, if the Word says it, it will happen. If the Word says it, that's your sure footing that you can stand on, that you can walk through, that you can get by anything in the world that's going on right now. If you'll stand on the Word, it will come to pass. You can stand on a lot of opinions, but opinions are just like that. They change from time to time. Amen? And your opinion is just as good as anybody else's. Matter of fact, you probably think it's better. Amen? "Nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they considered their latter end." You know, we live for today. Have you ever noticed that? Most people live for today. I'm amazed at how many preachers who've been around for years and years and years and have not prepared for a latter end. I'm surprised how many people who've been around for years and years and years and have not prepared for the latter end. Did you know if the Lord tarry, we're all going to come to that place of a latter end that we need to be prepared for, that we need to have things set up in our life that makes it function as it ought to. Psalm 81, 13 and 14 says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and my hand against their adversaries." He said, if they just listen to me. You know, one of the greatest things for getting to your destiny is to hear the voice of the Lord. What is he saying? What does God want done? When does he want it done? You know, there is the thing of knowing what God wants done. There's also the basic timing of God's instruction. And we need to follow his timing to see that God's hand is bringing us to the place that we ought to be in, that we ought to be walking in that day. You know, Jesus talked about the people of Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how he wept for them when they did not know their day of visitation." He said, "As a hen would gather the chicks under her wings, would I have gathered you." You know, most of the stuff we go through, we really wouldn't have to go through if we just listened to the voice of the Lord and follow his instruction in that area. You know, most of the things that happened to Mary and I can't really blame it on the devil even, because I did most of it to myself. Amen? And we're always looking for, this is an area when in our lifetime that people are looking for somebody to throw the responsibility on for what's happening to them. Let me tell you, look in the mirror. That's where the responsibility really lies. Amen? Now, y'all don't shout me down when I'm doing real good here. I mean, you know, it's gotten real quiet on me here. Just begin to hang in there and see. Joseph stayed with his vision, with his dream. No matter what happened, he didn't throw in the towel. You know, even after he had done some marvelous things for some, and they forgot him. You know, he spoke to the baker and the other guy there, the butler, and gave them their answer to their dream. And he told the one, said, "Remember me," that got out of that prison situation. And some 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And none of his wise men could interpret it. And finally, the guy said, "I know a guy, the Hebrew, who's in the prison." Pharaoh was ready to annihilate the whole bunch. But Joseph got him stopped. He said, "Let me seek the Lord about this." He sought the Lord. Gave him his dream. And by that, it became the prime minister. You know, one word from God can move you from the prison to the front office in one move. One word from God can change everything in your life. Just that one word can make it happen for you. Now let me shift gears on you here just for a moment. You know, many of you are going through the wilderness right now, or as our next scripture would indicate, kind of the furnace of affliction or something of that nature you're going through. Isaiah 48 verse 10 said, "We see, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." You know, not always is that some type of sickness. You can be afflicted by a lot of different things. And a lot of those things determine how long they're going to last for how we handle it. Amen? If we stay like we should in touch with God and in His mercy and stay sweet. You know, sometimes it's hard to stay sweet. Isn't that right, Janet? That's hard for David to stay sweet. You begin to see that we have to stay sweet no matter what is going on. By the way, that does not mean that you have to be Casper Milquetoast. Amen? I don't believe God wants us to lay down and let everybody run over us. But we do have to stay sweet. Said, as I'm bringing this left hand up to the side of your head, I want you to know it's in sweetness. You know, but we have to stand our ground in some areas. We have to stand with what the Word of God says. There are people who will try to move you off of what God has said. What is God saying? And they want to put you in a place of where you cannot receive. You cannot walk beyond where you are. I believe we're all being refined somewhat. Amen? Amen? I believe there's going to be some refining work take place till Jesus comes. But also, I can tell you this, having been a Christian for some 50 years, I'm still being refined. You know, and Mary occasionally tells me what she's repented of. You know, things that we did maybe 10, 15 years ago didn't even think about. God stops us cold now. Or if we persist and do it, God brings conviction on you. Did you know it's hard to sleep when you're under conviction? Have you noticed that? Oh, y'all are a holy bunch on me this morning. I'm telling you, you know, Mary, I'll just preach to you. But you know, it says that we would be refined as pure gold. Listen, pure gold is transparent. You get all of those additives out of it, and it's transparent. It said the streets of heaven are going to be pure gold. That means they're transparent. It's also soft. You know, pure gold is soft. The reason they put that stuff in there is to harden it, to make it stand up, and to keep its shape and things like that, because pure gold is soft. You know, most of us don't want to be transparent. We don't want people to see our warts and other things about us that we know they won't love us if they see it. You know, I, as a pastor and as a father of four children, I assumed this place of responsibility, that since I was the leader, I had to be right all the time. You know, finally I arrived at the point when I could admit to my children that I really wasn't totally right about everything. I knew that they would not respect me once I admitted that. But what I didn't realize till I admitted it, they already knew I was wrong. You know, it wasn't a great revelation to them. It was only a revelation to me when I could stand and say I didn't have all the information I needed before I made that decision. You know, and so we have to realize that God has all the information already. So we might as well be transparent with people. Have you been around folks that are just transparent? Boy, they're intimidating as all get out, aren't they? I had a Sunday school superintendent some years ago who just let it all hang out. I mean, you know, just what you saw was what you got. I mean, it was, you know, if he's having a bad day, everybody knew it. I mean, if he's having a good day, everybody knew it. The whole thing, his whole life was just an open book. I thought, you know, he needs to really get a control of himself. No, I need to be more like him. You know, I mean, you need to be an open, transparent person. When people can see you for what you really are, they have a whole lot more respect for you than all the facade we put up in our life. You know, most of us come to church with our church face on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How are you doing today, brother? Oh, hallelujah. It's just a great life, isn't it? And you may be dying on the inside, you know. How can you get help if you don't admit what's going on in that area? You don't allow people to know that you need prayer, that you need a word of comfort or a word of love expressed. You know, some people, it may be the hug that you give them on Sunday morning or Sunday night or during the week that makes them, causes them to make it through that entire week. They needed that one thing. in any area. You know, be transparent. One thing I often say is, being in the refiner's fire, thank God I'm not where I used to be. Not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. So I've already got that completed, that portion, up to where I am now in that area. And so we all need to be thankful that we're not where we used to be, but that we're now moving on to greater heights and greater things. I heard a preacher say this morning, he hadn't read my book. Heard a preacher say this morning, you go to a higher level, your needs and everything get smaller. Well, my philosophy is, you go to the next level, higher level, bigger devil. Because he shows up. Why? Because you're now stronger. And the devil would throw his guns at you, big time. Well, that's all marvelous. I'm reminded of Smith Wigglesworth saying he was awakened with his bed shaking one morning quite early. And he woke up, kind of startled, and he looked, and there's the devil standing at the foot of his bed. He looked at him and said, oh, it's only you. Turned over, went back to sleep. You know, why? Because that thing's defeated. That devil's already, Jesus said, I defeated him. You know, he really has no power in your life unless you allow him to have a power in your life. So we need to treat him with little or no respect. Let me tell you, there'll be no peaceful coexistence with the devil. You might as well give it up right now and realize that you're in a warfare and go ahead and get prepared to win it. How are you going to get prepared to win it? You get in the Word and you spend time with God, because God is looking for those who will spend time with Him. You know, the Scripture says that the glory of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. How is that going to happen? Have you ever thought about that? How is that going to happen? It's because of that glory within us begins to show forth. We're transparent as we walk down the street, as we meet people. We're kind of like the fellow I was talking about that prayed with 65,000 people to receive Jesus. He used whatever mode he possibly could get. If it was changing a tire, he did that so he could witness to them and doing the things like this. Several years ago when I was pastoring a church, God gave me a vision of how to win. I kept praying, God, how do I win the city of 1 million people to the Lord? How can I win at least a portion of them to the Lord? And he gave me a vision of how it worked. And I went to my office, and one of my staff was there, and I shared it with him, you know, and then I had an appointment. Left on that appointment, I came back after lunch, and he had a chalkboard in my office where he'd run all this stuff down with what I told him. He said, Pastor, look at this. I looked at a bunch of numbers. You know, I mean, hey, I'm a numbers person, but, you know, that many numbers, a chalkboard, large chalkboard full of numbers, I had to stop and look for a minute, you know. And he said, well, here it is. What you told me, if we do this, and then we do this, and we do that, and we do the other. He said, in 4 years, by carrying this thing to just keeping it moving, this little church can be ministering to 50,000 people a week. I knew I had a big vision. I didn't figure like it's that big, you know, in that area. But let me repent before you this morning. I've already repented for God. That vision, I turned it over to the man who had figured all this stuff out and said, let's go get them. You know, we ran that thing for several weeks. And when we'd been having 4 and 6 visitors a month, we started having 30 and 40 visitors a month. We had people joining the church. The first month we ran it, we had 5 families join the church, which translated into about 25 people. But the mistake I made was it was my vision. God had given it to. I should have stayed in charge of it, running it in that area. Use the help that's around you, yes, but moving it forward in that area. You see, God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says He has a plan for us, for our good. He wants us to know that we have a hope and a future. You know, it doesn't matter how young or how old you might be. God still has a plan for you to come forth and to be exactly what He wants you to be. In verse 12 of that 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the Lord said, thoughts that of peace, not of evil, to give you a future or a destiny and a hope. You know, once you realize that God has a plan for you, then it ought to change your mode of operation. God has a plan. What is that plan, God? Keep praying until you find out. And I always encourage people, don't do a lot of planning, because you do a lot of planning, then you have to pray that God will bless your plan. If you find out what God's plan is, get in on it. It's already blessed. You don't even have to pray about it. Just get in on it. Whatever God is doing in that area. That particular church in Oklahoma City, which is not a large church by any great shakes of the imagination, have witnessing teams. That is the vision God gave the pastor. They have witnessing teams go out every other weekend. And that's what they do. And in 1 year, they had over 11,000 souls that they prayed with to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it was amazing. They went into the upper crust section of the city. And they got doors slammed in their face. They got them, told them, I don't want none of your stuff. You know, I don't want any of your religion kind of things. And they came back to the pastor so discouraged. They said, Pastor, let's go back down here on this other end of town where we've been working, because those people receive us. You know, it's amazing that the up and outers need Jesus just as much as the down and outers, but the up and outers seldom realize that they need Him. That they need Him. We need to be about the plan that God has for us. He goes on to say in verse 12, of that scripture, he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. If you wonder why your prayers aren't being answered, you're not in his plan, and you need to call upon him and begin to speak to him. And then you'll seek me and find me when you search with me with all of your heart. Number one, you've got to hear the voice of God. Number two, you've got to realize he's got a plan. Number three, you've got to seek God with all of your heart. These five-minute prayers won't get the job done. I'm not putting a time limit on prayer. You know, it's amazing. My wife, bless her heart, she can drape across the chair all morning long and pray all day. And it's not enough. You know, I pray an hour or so and it's plenty. You know, I get up and get on about other things that I've got to do in that area. You say, what are you saying? I believe God calls some of us in that area of prayer to move in that area. Others don't have that anointing in their life. I heard a preacher from up in Minnesota say one time his wife could drape herself over the altar all day long and cry out to God. And he tried it. Didn't work for him. Say, why not? Because that wasn't where God had him in that area. He said, call on me. Psalms 50:15 said, call on me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So we need to be able to call on God when we're in the day of trouble. But we do that real well, don't we? Oh, God, where are you, God? God, you know, deliver me out of this. But we also need to be able to spend time with him prior to all that trouble. If we spent more time with him, we'd have less trouble. Amen? Less things would happen to us to call out. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Great and mighty things. One of the speakers at this past convocation that we had, all of them were very anointed and was such a blessing. But we broke a tradition this year. We had a lady be our banquet speaker. And this lady is a unique lady. She went to the seminary here in Fort Worth. Now Spirit-filled pastor. To which some people's feelings, that's not really biblical. But she's running about 2,000 people in a church right across from the Augusta National Golf Course. Did you know that's high dollar property? But God gave it to her. And they've got a nice facility there, several facilities across from that golf course, where they're reaching people every week for Jesus Christ. So that doesn't match man's thinking. Sorry about you, man. God will do whatever he wants to do. You know, I had a lady tell me one time who was called to preach, she said, I don't believe that God really would have called me first if a couple of guys would have answered the call. You know, well, thank God for her belief, but I believe God calls us all in a place. You know, the scripture says in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female. So be careful about these lady preachers. They'll put it on you. Psalm 145, 18 and 19 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Have you ever thought about it? It seems like your prayers don't even get to the ceiling. Or the heavens are brass. We've said things like that. But he says he is near. If we lean on the word, he's near to all of those who call upon him. God is right there for you if you'll but call upon him. And you begin to do it. And if you call upon him in truth, he said, he'll fulfill the desire of those who fear him. And that's not like, oh, I'm afraid of you, God, but that's a reverential fear of the Father. Why? Because he's the great Almighty, the only true God. Do you have a vision? Do you have a destiny in front of you? What are you doing to get to it? What are you doing to get to it? You know, you may not have reached it yet, probably haven't, but if you don't have something set before you to get to that, some kind of a goal to move in that direction, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Most of the church comes to pay their respects on Sunday morning. After all, that's what we do, isn't it? We go to church on Sunday morning. Let me tell you, you should be in church on Sunday morning that you may be able to minister to someone else that's there that may need a touch, that may need a prayer, that may need encouragement from you. Always come ready to give. Not just a monetary offering. Yes, you ought to do that. I don't want to get on tithing. That's a whole new sermon. So, well, I don't believe in it. Well, sorry about you. The word says. But anyway, come being ready to minister to someone else. They may need a touch from the very hand of God. And you know, we may be his hands extended that would touch that person, that would lead them to the place that they need to go. Our God has a plan. A plan for you. Are you ready to put that plan in action? You see, you can have the best plan in the world, but if you don't put it in action, it won't bring anything about for you. James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Oh, I heard the voice of the Lord 27 years ago. And it's still just as good today as it was then. Well, what have you done about it? What have you done about it? Are you doing anything with it? That plan. The plan of God. Do something with it. One closing story. I heard Reinhard Bunke say this on one of the television programs. He said God had spoken to him that he wanted to put the Word of God in each home in America. And he said, God, that's kind of a heavy situation there, you know, to get a Bible in each home, you know, and God, I you think I can do that? Said God spoke to him, said, Reinhardt, you weren't my first choice. So God had chosen someone else to turn down the assignment. Don't. If I can impress you somehow, some way, don't turn down your assignment. You're calling from God. Don't turn it down. Someone else will get it, yes, but it'll be a frustration to you when you see it begin to come to pass. And you knew that God called you to do that. And now somebody else is reaping it. Yes, he did. Reinhardt accepted the challenge, my helper over here. He accepted the challenge. I don't know where you got one of his Bibles or not, but he was putting out Bibles. I think they started on the East Coast and was working west. I don't know how many years he figured it would take him to get that done. But he was picking up Bibles to get them into every home in America. I don't know about you. I've got enough Bibles to supply three or four families in my one home. We use them to study out of and things like that. But how about using the Holy Ghost to quicken to you what needs to be done to see that thing begin to function like it ought to function? God's plan for you is a good plan. It's a plan that'll bring you peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for being so attentive. I didn't get some of you awake, but I guess I'll have to be louder the next time I'm here. Amen. To get you going. Your blessing. We love coming over here. By the way, Pastor said this morning it wasn't Fort Worth, but I can tell you where it is. It's actually in Melissa. Y'all are waiting on that one, aren't you? That's where we live. We know God's up there. Amen. We were at a homeowners association meeting this week, and I'm sure God was there somewhere. I don't know exactly where he was, except in me. But it was a real marvelous time. Hallelujah. You understand I'm speaking in faith. Oh, praise God. Just wait on the Lord with me for just a moment, if you would. Let me ask this question while we're waiting here before the Lord. Is there one here this morning, or two or three or four, that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We want to give you an opportunity to make that decision today. Let me tell you, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. If you don't know Jesus, we don't want to embarrass you, but just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you this morning. Yes, amen. See that hand? Is there others? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. And I ask you, as I come to you, to forgive me of all of my sins. Father, that you would receive me into your family and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, in Jesus' name. And of course, the Father would say, welcome, welcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, amen, amen. Wait just a moment longer. Praise God, hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Many of you this morning are going through change in your life. Change can be glorious. It can also be upsetting. You know, where no matter what age, change is there, inevitable, that area. One of our speakers had us take change out of our pockets and throw it up in the air and say, change is in the air. And then the ushers picked it up for the missions department. Amen? Praise God. Got some of them off that hard money they had. But change is in the air. And if you're going through change this morning, we're going to open up just over to my left here, I guess. We'll move this out of the way. And you can come. We'd like to agree with you in prayer. If you're going through change, tremendous change, and you need prayer this morning, I want you to come quickly. And before we turn the service back to Brother Jim, and we don't want to wait a long time, but come on, and we'll get prayer over you right now and agree with you for this thing to move and move quickly in your life. Amen? We're going to wait a moment. Hallelujah. One thing you'll find, I don't give long altar calls. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God in her life. Praise God. Are you ready? You're ready. All right. We're going to lay hands on you. Scripture says, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover.
I'll agree with us in prayer.
It's not maybe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just receive when we lay hands.